I desire your prayers. The Lord will help us today. This will be the second message on the day of the Lord. And I want to say before we begin that this message is not to crush or frighten or cause anyone to feel condemned. The purpose I think that God has in this series of messages, and I have probably never had quite the burden concerning the last great day like I have in the last few weeks. I wake up in the night and the Lord is just speaking to my heart, and I wake up in the morning and it's on my mind. But I hope that one of the things that will be the result of this series of messages is that you and I will be very conscious of the coming of the Lord, but also that we will carry a greater burden for our loved ones, that we will feel a sense of urgency to pray for those that are lost. So that's one of the things I wanted to say before we began. I'm going to ask Lorne to come up. We have another song we're going to sing concerning the coming of the Lord. The name of this song is Eternity Without Him.
We face a day of judgment. The time is drawing nigh. A record Christ is keeping up yonder in the sky. There's no way to escape it, so sinner, please take heed. When comes the day of reckoning, oh, how the Lord you'll need. Eternity without Him, who died to set you free. Eternity without Him, the thought brings misery. Someday you'll cry for mercy, but it will be too late. Get ready now to meet Him within the pearly gates. Your friends are praying for you. Christ calls for you today. Trust Him for full salvation. Get in the narrow way. Don't wait until tomorrow, for it may be too late. Get ready now to meet Him within the pearly gates. Eternity without Him, who died to set you free. Eternity without Him, the thought brings misery. Someday you'll cry for mercy, but it will be too late. Get ready now to meet Him within the pearly gates.
I would like for the congregation to sing 355. I'm going to put a drawing on the board. It's not my customary thing to have graphics, but I'm wanting it to be impressed upon our minds more of the coming of the Lord. So if you will, please sing 355.
Because he comes.
have my phone up here so that Sister Rosa will be able to hear. I called her and asked her if she would like to, and she did, so that's the purpose of it. We're going to begin with considerable reading. For if what we believe is to come is not in the Bible, then we're believing something in vain. And what I have done, I have taken various scriptures and I have put them together, possibly not in the same order, but they will fit together. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, between verses 13 and 18. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 51 and 52. Revelations 1 and 7. Revelation 6 and 15 and 17, or 2:17. What I want us to consider as we're reading the Word of God concerning the last great day or the day of the Lord, both of those are referred to in the Word. It is also called the day of His wrath, and it is called the end of time. So in the Word of God, you will find all of those references meaning the same thing. So as I begin reading, I ask that you try to, since you probably cannot follow me in the Word, just try to listen. I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. In Jesus will God bring with Him. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. And we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not, and I'm using the reference in the margin, precede them which are asleep. In other words, when the Lord comes, you and I will not rise first. Those that have passed on, those that are in the grave, they will arise first. We will see them. We will know it's the end. They will know it. But they will arise before you and me. So we will not precede them which are asleep. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Revelations 1 and 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see Him, and they which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Revelation 6, 15 through 17. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Then, I'm going back to a previous scripture, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now there are other passages that we could use, but I think that this one is sufficient to describe the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, and the day of His wrath. One thing I would like for us to try to imagine would be the sounds of that day. It will not be a silent day. And it will be a day that you and I have never experienced in our whole life. We have only heard about it. But we believe it. Just as it was in the days of Noah, when God said He wanted him to prepare an ark for the saving of souls, it actually only turned out to be six. Three sons and their wives. I want to tell you that there was some noise going on when the rain began, which had never happened before. The people realized what was happening. I have a little drawing up here. I have up in the right-hand corner for Sister Rosa, clouds. And I have clouds of witnesses. That's what the word of the Lord calls it. It says He is going to come back with clouds. It is not saying He's coming back in the clouds. He's coming back with the clouds. So that is the clouds of witnesses. Those that have given their hearts and lives to the Lord, have allowed the grace of God to help them to overcome all of the temptations of this dark and evil world, and they have made it. Thank the Lord. I want to tell you that they will be coming back with Him. It will be those that were dead. It will be those that will arise out of the graves. It will be those that will be rejoicing. Remember the little dream that we shared with you that Sarah Doolittle had years ago of the coming of the Lord at Monarch. I'm going to retell it. I think it's very important. And they were at Monarch in the dream. Everyone was there. And a loud trump sounded. That's going to be one of the sounds of the day of the Lord. And there will not be one inhabitant of this earth that will not understand what it means. Though they didn't believe it or wouldn't receive it, they will know when it happens that is the last day. Everyone, those that didn't believe, they'll know it. In her dream, there was this sound that she said in her mind, she still can hear it. And it's happened many years ago. But everyone knew that it was the last day of the Lord. And as those that were ready began to rise, they never looked back. They had their eyes pointed toward heaven. They were happy. They were blessed. Nothing down here mattered to them anymore. But those that were not ready did not rise. She herself said she thought she was ready, but she found out she wasn't ready. And she began to jump, trying to make herself rise. But alas, she could not. And in the group that they were with, different ones looking for family members. And they're all moving together. And they come to a very dark and deep abyss. And she awakened. I want to tell you that is a scene that could very well be on the last great day. There will be those that will be ready. There will be those that have been striving to enter in at the straight gate. There will be those that were taking the narrow way. But it will be a mixture. There will be those that have chosen the broad way. And the scripture says many will go in thereat. The scripture tells us that it will be few that will be saved in the end. In our little message last Sunday, we talked about the three parables that Jesus gave where there was a division. He divided the people on that last great day, on the day of the Lord. We found that there were wise virgins and there were unwise virgins. One had the oil. They were prepared. But those that were unwise, they were saved. But they allowed something to leak out of their life. They didn't have the oil. It needs to be a lesson to us in all of these messages that you and I can be wise or we can be foolish. Between here and the coming of the Lord, it's what you do with your life. It's how you live your life, the choices you make. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. If you want to go to heaven, you can go to heaven. You can be one of those that will rise when the Lord comes again. You will not have to have the fear nor the torment of those that are lost, because the ones that are lost will have no second chance. Once the trump has sounded, that will be the end of time itself. Time is when you and I prepare to meet God. There will be no time to pray. It will be too late to pray. These are serious things that you and I don't think about every day. We're all full of our life. We're full of the busyness of our life. We're going to our jobs. We're taking care of our homes. We're doing the cooking. We're doing all of the things that we are required to do in this time world. But we must take time to think about the coming of the Lord, because He is coming. We know not the day or the hour, not even Jesus, not even the angels. But God knows the day and the hour, and it will come. Thank the Lord, it will come. There is coming an end. But when I think about the sound that is going to be in that day, I've never heard this sound. You've never heard this sound. But when it sounds, we will know, and all of the inhabitants of the earth will know this is the day of the Lord. Even though they didn't believe it, many people today do not believe that God is ever coming back. They scoff at it, such as the word says. Where is the promise of His coming? I want to tell you, when it happens, they will be one of those that will moan and groan, but it will be too late. Don't let the day of the Lord come and find you short in any way. Keep your salvation up to date. Keep your walk with the Lord up to date. Make it serious every day. Think about and meditate on the coming of the Lord. I want to impress upon our minds of the people that will be there on that day. You will be there. I will be there. All of those that have died since the beginning will be out of the graves. This world will be populated with a number that we've never heard of on all of the face of the earth. Do you believe it? I believe it, because the word says it. We cannot hardly imagine the number of people and inhabitants that will be on the face of the earth when this happens. And there there to be judged. It is called the judgment day, when every soul will be judged for the deeds that are done in the body. When I think of millions upon millions of people, but do you know who you're going to be interested in? Yourself. You're no longer going to be interested in your children. You're not going to be interested in your wife or your husband or your parents, or nobody else is going to matter. When this day comes, it will be you and God. It will be me and God. Just as in the dream, the ones that were going up never looked back. They never looked who was left behind. It will be you caring for your soul and me caring for my soul, and each of us answering only for ourselves. There will be no witnesses there to say, oh, this one was so good. Surely they are worthy of heaven. There will be no one to testify for you and me. It will be just me, and it will only be you. When I think of the, we call it a mixed multitude. We even call it a mixed multitude when we spoke of the tares and the wheat. Remember that parable? That was the coming of the Lord. And they said, let it all grow together. Don't tear up the tares out of the congregation, or out of the church of God, or out of the church at large. You might uproot some wheat, the ones that are real. The other day, I was working in my flowers. I have a weed that comes up that looks just like my periwinkles, and it almost has to get to a certain stage in order for me to determine that's a weed. And so I was going to pull it up. And guess what I did? I pulled up my periwinkle with it. And I had to think about this parable. That's why the Lord says you're not going to tear up the tares among the wheat. You're going to hurt somebody else. Let it grow together. I'll divide it in the end. But the end is too late to make any other changes. So as I thought about the mixed multitude, some of you might not be able to see that I have a big earth right here. I have the trumpet sounds, and I wrote here, all inhabitants of the earth. They're going to know what that sound is. But this is a great multitude of mixed people. But it will not be unfamiliar to God. The scripture says that this is the seal of the Lord, for he knoweth every one that belongeth to him. He will not make a wrong judgment in the end, in the day of the Lord, in the day of his wrath, at the end of time. He will not make a mistake. The scripture says, will not the judge of all the earth do right? He will do right. He will know his people. He'll know their name. Their name will be in the palm of his hand. They will be that peculiar treasure that we heard in Sunday school. They will be a peculiar people. They will have a name. They will be not only the children of God, but they're going to be called the saints of God. Don't ever be ashamed to be called a saint of God, because that determines who you are. It's a high calling. But I want to tell you, God will claim his own on the last great day. Thank the Lord. But among all of those people, these thoughts came to my mind. All of those who rejected the plan of salvation will be there. All of them. All of the redeemed will be there. All who said, God is dead. Maybe your generation doesn't remember that, but mine does. There was a time here in our United States, such heathenish statements saying, God is dead. We don't know God. I want to tell you, those people will be there and see He is alive. He is well and alive. And He will do the righteous thing. All of the unbelievers, all of the atheist people today, our colleges are full of atheists. I've been seeing some interviews of college students, and they would ask them, do you believe there's a God? No. When did you start not believing there was a God? When I was in high school. Most of the ones interviewed had nearly the same answer. The person giving the interview tried to reason with them. And he began by speaking about DNA, the creation of the body, the creation of all of the earth is based on the principle of DNA. Nobody could do that, or just, it cannot just evolve. Some of them said, yes, you're making me think there might be a God. But I want to tell you, in that last great day, they will all know there is a God. But it will be too late. All the good people of the earth will be there. The people that never did any drugs. The people that never drank, never smoked. There will be good people there that never robbed a bank. There will be good people there that made good neighbors. But they are lost. Because they trusted in their goodness. They trusted in their works. You and I cannot trust in our good works and think that we're eligible for heaven. What must we trust in? We must trust in the blood of Jesus. We must value His crucifixion and His resurrection. We must believe His word. We cannot just be good. We must be holy. We must be righteous. We must follow the Lamb to be redeemed by the Lamb. I want to tell you, there's going to be all of the backsliders will be there. All of the neglectors. All of the wicked and the evil that has committed crimes against other human beings. They will be there. Those with hard hearts will be there. They will all know it is the last day. They will know that time will be no more, that there will not be any more tomorrows. You and I right now, we're already possibly thinking of tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll go to work. Tomorrow I will do this. What are you going to do tomorrow? On this day, there will be no more tomorrows. Have you thought of these things? Have you meditated upon them? Have you considered your life that today could be the day? Oh, we've had those words said so many times down through our life, but it will happen. It will happen. And when it does, God will separate. He will put those on the right hand and those on the left hand. So I want you to consider now the sounds of that day, that all of us, you and I, will be there. And in the song that you sang of He Comes, I want us to take special note of two of the verses. It says, "O fearful scene, creation groans, while loud above the trumpet tones." The sound is going to be louder than the trumpet. The trumpet precedes it. The trumpet will sound, and all will know it is the end. But it will be the reactions of the people that will be louder than the sounds. The writer of this said that while loud above the trumpet tones, what peals of joy, I love it, the redeemed of the earth will be shouting with joy, will be so happy that they made it, that they endured to the end. They'll be glad that they passed through all of the trials. They will mean nothing. The song says, when I get to the end of the way, the trials will seem as nothing. Yes. On the day of the Lord, if you're one of the redeemed, you'll be shouting with joy because you made it. But mixed with that is piercing moans. Can you imagine the millions and the mixed sounds of the day of the Lord? Do you hear it in your mind? Can you sort of fathom the sound, the scene and the sound of the coming of the Lord? We need to think about it. It is coming, and you will be there, and I will be there. I'm thinking of the sounds that we have right now. How many times have we heeded the sounds right now? Have we heeded the preached word? Have we allowed it to sink down in our hearts? I believe you have. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season ye shall reap if you faint not. But what about the sounds of God's appeal? You know, we have songs that have messages in them. We've had songs that we have sang as altar call songs all of my life. And I have mentioned of late how that we need to be conscious of what we're singing. We need to let it be in our minds because it's part of that appeal from God. The word says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The cry is still there. The cry is going out. And as I said in the beginning, if you're saved, he wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to be thinking of the coming of the Lord, but he wants you to carry a burden for the lost because it will be too late to pray. Pray for your loved ones as never before. Carry a burden. Who's going to carry a burden for your children like you do or your loved ones? I've said that to you many times. We all can help carry a burden for one another, but I want to tell you, it's that burden of your heart for your loved ones, your children, that God's going to hear that prayer. He's going to do all that he can. I believe he is doing all he can today. I believe it. As was said in our prayer meeting, today is the day of salvation. The coming of the Lord hasn't happened. When it does, it will be a blink of the eye. It will be so fast, you will have no second chance. I'm thinking of some of the reasonings in some of the songs that we have that, you know, I'm guilty. I am guilty of singing those songs and just having them memorized. I'm not even looking at the words. I don't have to. I have sang them for 70 years. And so I don't really think about it. But what about the song of eternity? What about the song that we sang up here? Maybe you didn't know that song. It's an old song. Eternity without Him. Do you think about it? Do you think about it for your loved ones? But what about this one? I lingered and silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years and thought of the fate of the guilty. You know, when we sing these songs, we need to be thinking about the fate of the guilty. When Christ in His glory appears on that last great day. Probably the most impressionable verse of that song to me anyway is, I saw the judge in His splendor as He stepped to His great judgment seat and thought the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. There's maybe going to be a sound that you and I will hear as time ends and eternity begins. The writer here called it a crashing sound. And yet you know the story of the writer. This writer was able to pen these words and still was lost. Today, he is lost in eternity. There's no coming back to time from eternity. So I'm going to give you one of my special burdens. As we think upon these things, we sometimes categorize the people. It doesn't matter how bad their sin was or how little their sin was. If they did not repent, if they did not plead the blood of Jesus and accept the plan of God, they were all in one group. The parables never gave us more than two groups. Those that were saved and those that were lost. But the Lord has been dealing with my heart about a third group. Now it's true, we could put this third group in with the saved. But I want us to consider that there is coming a day when the Lord returns. There will be an innocent generation of children, of babies. They will be there. The innocent generation will people heaven. You know what the scripture says about hell. That hell hath enlarged itself. It's bigger than was intended. And these babies and these innocent little children, innocent generation, will not people hell. Will not enlarge hell. Many of you may not remember Sister Lottie Joyner. She was a minister. And you know what she said many times? There will be no babies in hell. And there won't be. So I'm counting it a third group of innocent children that have not come to the knowledge of good and evil. They've not been introduced to it. They have not come to the age of accountability. They will be there. I want to tell you, there is coming a day that the Lord is going to say, it is enough. The cup of iniquity is full. And it is enough. And when He does, He will say, this generation will be that generation that will be in my heaven. Pray for the children. Pray for our children and our babies. We are in a dark and evil time. So I'm going to close with a scripture in Revelations. Revelations 22, I'm going to read 12 through 14 and verse 20. And Jesus is saying this, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right." Do you understand what that says? You have a right to enter heaven. You're eligible. You can be eligible to enter heaven. So you can have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. What a day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, I want to tell you, there's coming a day. We will all be there. Not one person on the face of the earth will escape this day. Not one. Going down to verse 20, Jesus' words again, it said, "Surely I come quickly." And then do you know what John the Revelator said after that? He said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Do you want to see him come? Do you want to be there? Remember, we gave in the last message what will be said to the saved and to the lost. We need to comfort one another with those words. Come, my blessed. What words that we should hear. Won't those be wonderful sounds for the Lord to invite us? And we are have a right to go into the city. What a day that will be. I do not know how much farther the Lord is going to take it. I feel it's going further. I've never had the Lord deal with my heart like this in my whole ministry. Not on this subject. I'm going to suggest that you pray that the Lord will help you to receive it and allow it to impact your walk with serious thoughts. But I would like for you to pray for me too. Don't ever forget what the scripture says. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? Pray for me.